Good morning. Good morning, Twin Cities. Good morning, Pet Appreciators. Hope you're having a great day, and we want to welcome you to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Boy, I stumbled through that introduction. That's what I get for trying to text a message at the same time that the show is starting. But anyways, good to be with you again here this morning, Pet Appreciators, and wonderful Dr. Nicole is with us as well. So good morning to you, Dr. Nicole. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good, good. Yeah, outside of trying to do too many things at once, I thought for sure my thumb could do something over here and my voice could do something over here and my brain got mixed up. So, but anyways, that's the way it goes. So are you home, Dr. Nicole? Are you calling from home today or the clinic?
I am calling from home.
Oh, good place to be. Home is a wonderful place to be, especially at your house. You have such a wonderful, loving family and so whatever. But anyways, Pet Appreciators, Dr. Nicole is with us this Sunday, obviously, and she'll be with us the very last Sunday in June. So I just want to make you aware of that because you know that she's not on every single week. So if you have any medical questions or other questions too, or things you might want to share today or the last Sunday of the month, for the month of June anyways, would be good times to chat with her. The call-in number is 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And as always, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to plug Petapalooza, Pet Appreciators. That's coming up Father's Day weekend, Saturday, June 16th. Dr. Nicole will be there with her rescue, Tough Start, T-U-F-F, Tough Start Rescue. And, of course, my business will be there. We sponsor that event, the Urban Dog. And so we sponsor Petapalooza. So please come by and say hi to us at our booths. We'll be next to each other. So that'll be fun. You can swing by and chat with us, and we can meet you and that kind of thing, or ask any questions or whatever. And it's our 20th anniversary for the Urban Dog, so we'll be having extra prizes and activities than what we would normally do. We always have a lot going on, but this year we're going to have a lot more going on. So always feel free to stop by. We'd love to meet you or see you again for those of you who have stopped by in the past. Again, Petapalooza, State Fairgrounds, Saturday, June 16th. Don't ask me what time it starts because I don't remember, but I usually think it's 9 o'clock. 9 to 4 is typically what it is, if I remember correctly. And yeah, but the only thing different, Pet Appreciators, if you've come before and you think, okay, well, I don't need to pay too much attention. I know where to go and that kind of thing. It is moved to a different part of the State Fairgrounds, not at Machinery Hill anymore, but at the International Bazaar area. Machinery Hill during the month of June is undergoing some reconstruction there. And so we were just kind of moved to another space, but that's okay too. There's still lots of green grass there for the dogs because this is a very, very, very pet-friendly event. Usually a couple hundred or so dogs that come. Cats, we've had goats, dragons, the dragon kind of, reptile kind. Very cool. And then cats obviously have come. Maybe not obviously, but cats have come in the past. Cats that are very, very, adaptable to those types of situations. A pig a couple times. So all kinds of pets, and there'll be lots of fun things to do, of course, and it's very family friendly. Anything you want to add, Dr. Nicole, about Petapalooza?
Well, we're excited too at Tough Start, so we're going to be doing paw prints again. I know that that's kind of been a hit the past couple of years, so you can stop by our booth and get your pet's paw done. It's like a little ink paw print on some colorful paper. And there's a myriad of other little things we are doing. We're still kind of gathering all of our troops and getting our ducks in a row, but we're super excited.
Yeah, we just have to pull for good weather. But the cool thing about the International Bazaar space is that there's, a big building there, and it's an open-air building. So technically outside, but we've got a really good roof over our heads. So that's a good thing, too. So, but anyways, rain or shine, we'll be there at Petapalooza. And, the big focus, besides being a family and a pet-friendly event, because there's so many activities for families, for kids. I know we've got different things going on for kids, too, right at our booth. But it really highlights rescues. And that's what I love about sponsoring Petapalooza. We've done it, I think, for 7 years in a row, just to really highlight, the rescue groups. They all get in for free, and it's just a great time to come and show your support. And, of course, if you're looking for a new pet to join your family system, you know, this would be a really good place to check out, you know, everything, have really good conversations with the volunteers and the people who run these organizations. You know, you don't have to wait for people to get back to you on after a phone message that you've left. You can do more than just online communication. You know, you have a lot of face-to-face interaction with these rescue groups. Get a really good feel for them, and they can give you a really good feel for possible pets that you might want to adopt. And so I just want to, you know, really say that the rescue groups are just such a huge focus, and we really want to highlight them and all the work that they do and honor them and respect them. And I think there might be, there's usually between 35 and 40 rescue groups there. There might be a few slots left, so if you are a rescue group or know of one and they do have their Dr. Nicole, 501c3?
Yep.
Okay, 501c3 status with the state of Minnesota, then, you know, it's just a matter of registering and letting them know if you need electricity or not and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think there's a few spots left for that. And then any pet-friendly business, too, they're always welcome. Booths run the gamut of the price range, but I'm pretty sure that there's some that are available for that as well. Again, any sort of pet-friendly event and or business and any other 501c3 nonprofit that is pet-related but not necessarily a rescue group, you know, there's a small fee, but you're more than welcome, you know, to join us there at Petapalooza. We love that. We love the variety. So please keep that in mind if you know of anybody or if you have a business or an organization yourself. Okay, so that's that. I'll probably plug that again. But, you know, one thing I heard on one of the radio shows that I listen to, it's usually in the car if I'm working late, and it was on the CBC. And it was one of the last shows, so it was probably right before like 11 o'clock or something. I was probably doing my last walk or on my way to my last walk for the day or cat sit or whatever. But it was a story out of England, Warrington, England. No idea where that is in England. Did you hear about that, Dr. Nicole?
I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe I should.
Maybe if you explain it more.
It's about a dachshund. Did you hear about the dachshund?
No.
Okay. Pet appreciators, I wasn't sure if the story was real or not because it's bizarre. Never heard of this thing happening before, although maybe Dr. Nicole has. And I was tired. So I was like, you know, not trusting myself. Do I hear this? Do I not hear this? What did I miss? Do I say it to anybody? Because if it sounds really stupid, I'm not going to say it, you know? So, but I did check the website afterwards. It's real. So a cute, tiny, tiny, petite little dachshund was just hanging out, sitting on the floor next to his owner one morning, and she was eating breakfast, just a tiny petite. Okay, you can see that right in your mind where the head is a little bit bigger and the body's pretty skinny. And there's photos to prove this, too, on the CBC website. And that radio show is called As It Happens on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation or whatever it's called, just like the BBC, but it's the CBC out of Canada. Okay, so the owners was saying just in the span of about 30 minutes, the dog started to literally blow up. Wait a minute. Like inflate, that's what I mean. Inflate. The dog was inflating before her eyes. At first she was like, are you getting a little bit bigger? Like, is it just the position that you're in? And with each passing 2-3 minutes, he appeared bigger and bigger. And soon, he was very much like, you know, the character in the book, the Blueberry Girl from the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story. Do you remember that, Pet Appreciators? That's what was happening to this dog. It was like every time he took a breath in, he puffed out a little bit more. I'm not joking. And so after about 30 minutes, and there's a photo on this, too. You can see the contrast, the comparison. They rushed him, obviously, to the vet. But in 30 minutes, he was 3 times his original size, but still breathing, clearly in distress, couldn't walk, you know, because his, you know, he was all like that, inflated. Whoa. And so, you know, you can just imagine the veterinarians just like, whoa, you know, what's going on? And blah, 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 blah. And so what they found through x-rays was that he had a hole in his windpipe. And so every time he took a breath, you know, a little bit of the air would escape into like the muscle tissue area. And he was inflating like a balloon. And it was the weirdest thing. That's why I wasn't sure if I really heard it or not, pet appreciators. But they had to, like, you know, quickly sew that up, repair that. And I never found out how that happened. Maybe he swallowed something sharp, obviously, right? I don't know. And then what they did is they left a little nick somewhere in his body. And part of his recovery was that the owners had to kind of rub him and push the air out. Have you heard of anything like that before? How weird. I'm serious. But, you know, when you think about it logically.
What?
I know. But when you think about it logically, like, it does kind of make sense. Okay, so air goes in the windpipe. There's a hole in that. So the air will escape somewhere else into the body. The body will start to blow up. And even if you fix the windpipe, you still got all this air. Why doesn't it just come out of his mouth or his nose? That's what I don't get. So that's where you come in, Dr. Nicole. But I can see where the nick would help the air, you know, come out.
Yeah, wow. Well, yeah, I was, as you were describing it, I was sitting here just really very, very confused, thinking, what is going to be the end of this story here? How terrible and how scary.
Yes.
But definitely if animals, yeah, if they...
But there's only 30 seconds. There's only 30 seconds. So can you give your medical viewpoint here in just like after the break?
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm like dying to know. And it's got to be something like he chewed on a little sharp piece of a wood chip, or he swallowed a nail or some sort of sewing pokey thing. Well, anyways, we'll get right back to this, pet appreciator. Stay with us.
Would you or your organization like to become better storytellers? The Uptake can help. Learn from the best teachers in Minnesota when it comes to writing, photography, audio documentary, or live video streaming. I'm personally teaching the live video classes. We're offering classes on Saturdays in June. There's a charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. Space is limited, so register now at theuptake.org/classes. That's theuptake.org/classes and learn to storytell like a pro.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, Bernie Sanders campaign manager Jeff Weaver and I discuss the campaign and his new book. Journalist Max Blumenthal talks about his new film, Killing Gaza, also the politics of Star Trek, capitalism, alienation, and the NFL. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I gotta promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, and my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Kathy Menard here, your host, along with our wonderful co-host, Dr. Nicole Perrault, calling from the comforts of her home. And I'm assuming the very, very room she's in is the foster cat room. But anyways, welcome back, pet appreciators. If you were listening earlier, I was just telling a story that I heard on the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, about this dog in England who blew up. No. I mean, inflated like a balloon. And we were talking about why that was the cause of that, and then how they brought him back to normal at the veterinarian clinic. But bizarre story. So anyways, Dr. Nicole, I am so curious to get your everything on this, your initial thoughts. What have you ever seen anything like this? Just whatever. Talk away, Dr. Nicole.
Well, I don't have a lot of info on this because this is definitely nothing that I have seen, but I have absolutely heard of it. Anytime the trachea, so the windpipe, you know, anytime that is compromised, so whether or not there's a puncture or whatnot there, absolutely when they breathe in, they're going to be taking air into what's called their sub-Q space or their under-the-skin space. So we always hear of sub-Q, you know, we give fluids under the skin, things like that. And that's likely where all the air was accumulating. And so it just looked like he just got more and more puffy, you know, and that's what I'm guessing happened. But yeah, I mean, I just think how terrifying for those veterinarians, you know, to have to go in and basically suture up the trachea. I mean, that's generally, I would think, something that, you know, a specialist would do. I mean, it sounds very scary to me. I can handle a lot of stuff, but that would be something that I think would be quite scary. So I'm definitely going to be researching this, and I'd love to see the x-rays just to see kind of, you know, what that all looked like. And I hope the puppy is doing well, and very, very scary. But yeah, under the skin, there's a lot of space there, and it certainly would look as if they're just inflating, but it's just that space under the skin, you know, is what's inflating.
You know, Dr. Nicole, and on the CBC, As It Happens, because that was the show that it was on, there is one photo for sure of the x-ray. But, you know, that's just a photo here on the internet.
Cool. Okay.
You know, so I don't know. You know, but there's photos of, you know, before and after kind of thing. But I guess he felt like bubble wrap when he touched him. How weird is that?
Yes.
So, but
yes,
anyway.
It'll crackle.
Yes, how weird.
And it's called subcutaneous emphysema. So if you think about, there's air under the skin, and you can hear like crackling when you pet them. So yeah, that's very scary. Very scary.
You know, I probably know the answer to this, Dr. Nicole, but what if she had like ate a breakfast real quick, wasn't at the table, just maybe ate her breakfast or was doing something else and dashed off to work and had just assumed the dog was fine because he ate his breakfast and he had already been out to potty and off she went. I mean, what would happen?
Yeah, that is.
I mean, probably death. I mean, if he tripled in size in 30 minutes, I mean.
Yeah, that's very, very scary to think about because at some point the space under the skin is going to become so tight that it would possibly, it's not going to have anywhere else to go. And so you wonder, would that dog then have been able to take air in? Or, yeah, I don't know. Oh, I'm just so glad she brought him in. But I don't know, you know, what would have happened had she gone to work. I'm worried that the poor little kiddo may have passed. Or, like I said, if there's no place else for the air to go, I don't know if he just wouldn't have been able to take air in. I don't know. That is a very, very bizarre and very rare thing to have happen. The only time that we generally see subcutaneous emphysema is, you know, if you're giving fluids under the skin, you might have accidentally introduced a tiny bit of air, and it's not a huge deal. It's just a little bit. Otherwise, animals that have suffered some type, like a trauma, they've been hit by a car, or there was some impaling type of wound that allowed air to get under there. And when you pet them, it does feel like bubble wrap. But I can't imagine. Well, I just can't imagine how scary that was.
Very, very much so. And you think, you know, just with the air filling that empty space under the skin, that it would start to crush the lungs, that the lungs wouldn't be able to take in any more air, you know, or the heart.
Yeah. And that's the part too, because the air that would be accumulating under the skin would be, it wouldn't be inside the body. It's kind of inside the body, of course, because it's under the skin, but it's not inside the chest or inside the abdomen. So it's kind of like all the tissue outside those cavities was what was inflaming or inflating.
Okay.
So I don't know the direct, consequence to the heart and the lungs and all of that. But I suppose as it got worse and worse and worse, you know, it would put stress on the body wall and on the chest wall and things like that. Yeah, oof, that is a very scary thought there.
And how thick, this is a dachshund, of course, but how thick typically is the trachea, the windpipe? I mean, how?
Diameter-wise, I mean, it's it's a thin,
okay,
walled, you know, I would say organ, I guess. It is very thin, and it's primarily, a large portion of it is cartilage. So it's not, you know, there's a spot where it's, you know, nice tracheal thick rings, but then there's a portion where there is definitely only cartilage, and that's why it can be so easily damaged. You know, if you think of little dogs that have a collapsing trachea, or dogs that pull a lot on their leashes and things like that. But the weird part is, you know, if he swallowed something, he obviously swallowed it through his esophagus, and it's like, well, did it poke through there? Did it poke through the trachea through the esophagus? It's very strange. I wonder if they know. Maybe they don't even know what happened, but it just sounds very bizarre.
Well, that was my next question, although we only have about a minute and a half left before the break. So maybe we can brainstorm a little bit on the other side, but when we come back from the commercial break. But I was wondering the same thing. He had to have swallowed something. But they didn't mention anything that they found, you know, like a little tiny nail or what are those things that you put in bulletin boards? Tacks, you know, something like that, or something related to sewing. But then could it be caused by, like, maybe part of a bone splintered a little bit? Maybe? I don't know.
It's very odd because the esophagus is quite strong for the most part. You know, it's a very muscular organ, and so whatever is being swallowed is going through there to the stomach. And I think it would have to be something very, very traumatic and severe to have gone through and then also perforated through the esophagus to perforate the trachea. So it's very strange. I don't know what to make of it. I don't even know how to imagine that happening, but
I have another idea, but I could be totally wrong, like 100% wrong, but I have to ask, and I'm going to ask on the other side of the break because we are going into a commercial break right now. But I do have another thought on how could it have possibly, something sharp could have possibly gotten in there. Okay, stay with us, Pet Appreciators. And again, if you have any comments or anything like that, questions, always call us, 952-946-6205. Stay with us.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for June only. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be partly cloudy with a high near 73. Tonight's going to clear up with a low around 53. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 84. And Tuesday, sunny with a high near 85. Break away from the ordinary and find a list of one-of-a-kind local restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com. From elegant to casual, exotic to comfort food, these local restaurants offer some of the best cuisine in the Twin Cities. Find the full list at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Appreciators, welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Again, it's me, Kathy Menard, and your host, Dr. Nicole Perrault, from the St. Francis Veterinary Clinic up in St. Francis, Minnesota. We're your co-hosts here of the Pet Connection Show, and again, very happy to be spending Sunday morning with you. Just sort of finishing up a conversation about Trevor the Dachshund, who inflated due to a nick in his windpipe, and how they were able to repair that and get the air out. I guess, Dr. Nicole, they were like, they had to start from the bottom and kind of like work, you know, massage and work the air out starting from the bottom to the top. And I do want to, I have a question about that, but don't answer it yet because I wanted to do the follow-up questions that I promised I was going to ask earlier. But why did she need to push the air out bottom to top instead of just like, I would just be on the dog, squish, squish, you know, trying to get the air out? So I'm just wondering if there was a medical reason for starting at the bottom and moving to the top. But my other questions were on how this windpipe got nicked in the first place. Could it have been one of these two things? And I know my third one was, could it have been internally just some sort of a bone maybe from his upper ribs or something that chipped a little bit and poked it? I don't know. But I'm wondering if he swallowed a tooth or a fragment of a tooth, if that would have ever come in contact with the windpipe, probably not. But what about ingesting? He lives on a farm, so what about ingesting through the nose, a really sharp but small not blade of grass, but, you know, like straw, you know, or something like that. What do you think?
I mean, I certainly think anything is possible. I'd love to know the actual what actually happened, but I think as long as I haven't read the article yet, but as long as the dog didn't have any air accumulating in the abdomen, in the chest, I don't think it was a perforation where the trachea that's found in the chest was perforated. Because if that was perforated, they would have had to do, you know, open chest surgery basically to repair that. So it sounds like it was possibly repaired from, you know, by the neck area where we can actually feel the trachea before it disappears down by the thoracic inlet kind of into the chest. So it's a little bit hard to know on that front, but it sounds like it was just air accumulating under the skin. And so in that regard, I definitely think it had to have been something from the, like I said, the neck up maybe, and that's where the injury was. As far as a tooth, you do hear of them getting, we actually had one at our clinic a couple of years ago. The dog was acting like he couldn't breathe. We took an x-ray and sure enough, there was a tooth that had been lodged kind of right in his trachea there. And it was like sideways. So it was kind of making almost like a partial obstruction. And he did have to go and have that removed, you know, at a specialist. So I don't know if he had very terrible dental disease. I don't know if he kind of aspirated the tooth back up. If it was in his mouth, then he aspirated it or what happened there. As far as a blade of grass or anything through the nose, I think that'd be less likely, but sure possible. I looked up, you know, just on the commercial break trying to see, you know, what are some other causes might be, and definitely makes sense after I read them. I was like, oh, yes, of course. So any type of trauma, like a bite wound, you know, any type of neck or chest injury. So did he fall from a chair? You know, more commonly, there can be tracheal injury or damage when animals are intubated for surgery. It's very, very, very rare, of course. I've never seen it happen myself, knock on wood. But you put a tube in, you know, obviously so animals and people can breathe during surgery. And, you know, if there's ever any type of issue with the trachea that maybe you weren't aware of, and then they're intubated, you know, we're always very careful when we pull the tube out. You have to make sure the cuff is deflated perfectly and all of that. But if there's any issue there, you know, certainly animals can have a reaction, and they can have a little injury to their trachea. But it doesn't sound like this puppy was large enough to have had a surgery. So it's very, very perplexing. I don't know if they'll sad part is they may never even find out, and that's even worse to not know what happened and how you could have prevented it.
Right, because I'm sure every pet owner now is like, oh, you know, I'm going to make sure that my, it's like a freak accident and that you never want to have happen. And I know in the article, too, it doesn't ever say, the veterinarian just says, just a bizarre unknown, you know, on why that happened. Yeah. But hopefully, you know, as time goes on, they'll either figure it out or something will jog the owner's memory. Like you said, a possible fall or something like that. Apparently, you know, he's had a couple checkups since then and everything is fine. And he's back to being the farm dog dachshund that he is, whatever he does on the farm. So thank goodness. No, it was a veterinarian clinic called Willows in Warrington, England. So yeah, what a scary thing for sure.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. He's used as a stud dog. So they said he was back to his duties. So everything is fine and normal and hunky dory for that little guy on the farm. So, but yeah, no, just a very scary thing. Dr. Nicole, you did mention that rare as it is, when people, whether they do it at home like I do or at a veterinarian clinic, give fluids under the skin, which is something that I do for one of my dogs daily. And so what, is there any little word of caution that I should be paying attention to?
No, it's just, that's the only time that I've, you know, myself, well, and wounds and, you know, things like that. When animals have been hit by a car and they come in, they have air under their skin, and it generally just resolves with time. But no, there's really nothing that you need to be super cautious of. It just means that there was accidentally some air that was introduced under the skin. And really, there's not a whole lot that you do about it. It does resolve, but I think I've more often felt it on cats, and it's been pretty rare even when we have seen it. But when you pet them, yeah, it does feel like crackles, like you're feeling like bubble wrap, I guess, but maybe almost more like tissue paper crackles, kind of, if you imagined petting tissue paper. And it is very concerning when you feel it. You're like, what is this? But no, there's not a whole lot that you do. You just have to make sure there's no air in the line. And usually when you're giving fluids, you're well aware, when you're giving them under the skin, you're aware that there's fluid in your line instead of air. Very, very different scenario if you're talking about giving IV fluids, so fluids into a vein. You know, that is dramatically important to make sure there is not any air in the line at all, because obviously that can create an embolus and that can be fatal. So, but no, giving fluids under the skin, there really isn't a whole lot, aside from just, like I said, making sure there's no air, but there's not a big risk there.
Okay, all right. And just along the lines of fluid, and I'm just going to be selfish right now and ask my own question about these fluids, because, you know, I've been doing it now for a while, and I've done it on a number of other dogs as well. Not cats, but dogs, client dogs when they travel and they need that. But one thing that I don't get is, and it drives me nuts, is sometimes the fluid from the bag that goes through the tube, through the needle and into the skin, sometimes it drips so slow, it drives me nuts. Sometimes it's a fast drip, and sometimes it's a pour, like you just turned on a faucet, and that's the kind I like. But I don't know what I do, Dr. Nicole, to have it be different. Now, lately, it's been a nice pour, but I don't know why.
That's a very good question.
Is it the way that I'm putting in the needle, which I'm doing what I think is the same every single time, but I don't know if I'm putting in deeper one time or shallower one time? Does it have to do with, you know, putting the line, connecting the when you have a new bag, connecting the line from the tube, and how tight you put it into the bag when you connect those two?
For me, it definitely has everything to do with the placement of the needle and actually the angle of the needle.
Okay.
So I definitely like the, you know, like you said, the faucet. You know, you put the fluid line in, everything's set up, you insert the needle into the patient, and you should see just a pour, you know, a nice steady pour. If you don't, it's kind of like drip, drip. What I do then is I pull the needle back a little bit, or I even go to a different spot until you find a spot that feels good. But I usually just pull the needle out just a little bit. It doesn't have to be all the way into the skin every time, because you might just be up against, you know, fat or tissue or whatnot there. And so you just pull it back until you find the right spot, and then it should go. And then we also squeeze the bags. You know, if you're doing this alone, you kind of have to be in a corner, you know, holding the dog or the cat. You have your one hand holding the needle kind of in, and then some animals, like for some cats and some patients, we let go of the needle completely. We just have the dog sitting in the corner, you know, talking to them, petting them, and then we have our other hand, you know, holding the fluid bag against the wall so that it's flowing even faster.
Okay, yeah, and I have mine hanging on a hook, and he sits on my bed, And yeah, so it's way up high, comes down. Okay, yep. So no, that's good. So if I have problems like that again, I'm going to go right to where the needle was placed. Or how far in?
Yeah.
And like you said, maybe I bumped up against a muscle. Is that a big deal?
No, I think you would know, though, because that would be very uncomfortable to them. So usually there's so much skin. I mean, animals have just this enormous space under their skin, which is why we're able to give them fluids like this. So I think it's hard. It would be hard to poke them someplace you would know. They would definitely say, ouch, that hurt. But, you know, otherwise you just go right under the skin. There's all that And you'd probably more likely be hitting fat, I think, than muscle. You'd have to go really deep, I think, to hit muscle.
Okay. All right. Well, he still, I think, loves me. So I think I'm doing okay. Or at least he's extremely forgiving every morning when we do this. I don't know. But yeah, no, it's basically his lifeline now that he has, you know, he's one of my dogs, Pet Appreciators, is an older one. And yeah, so he has kidney disease. He's had it for a while, but it just slowly gets worse. And that's what's happening. And so we kind of keep getting to different plateaus. You know, he might drop a little bit. Then we go in and we reevaluate everything, test. And he had like a blood transfusion 5, 6, 7 weeks ago. And he has like iron shots and whatever, whatever. But, you know, now we're at another plateau. It's a lower level. You know, I still think quality is there. He's not in pain or anything like that, but it's just a lower level of functioning. And, you know, who knows? Who knows when his time will be? But every day we watch him carefully and we'll know when it's his time, that's for sure. So, but anyways, Pet Appreciators, one more segment after this commercial break that's coming up right now. So that's that. On to a new topic on the next commercial or after the next commercial break, unless we get a phone call, we definitely want to prioritize you. Okay, stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetime. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. My show touches people's hearts. I hear from Twin Cities listeners, and thanks to podcasts from listeners across the country, that the subjects I tackle, like our commonalities and our collective struggle to survive the human condition, really resonate. Join me this Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 950. Maybe, just maybe, I'll touch your heart too.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com, from classic American comfort food to authentic flavors from around the world. Experience cozy fireside dining at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul, specializing in fresh seafood, fire-roasted meats, and pizzas all cooked over an oak-burning fire, and salads and sandwiches, too. Join them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com. Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime, offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, more than 60 beers on tap, and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be continuing our series titled Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truths About Dying and Death, where we share insights on the spiritual aspects of this profound experience. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
With spring, it's car wash season. Thank goodness for the Luther Advantage program from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I save 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, but I also get big discounts on car washes. And with free 2 years of maintenance with every new Toyota purchased, I can get my oil change and spring service done with the best service and maintenance department at Rudy Luther Toyota. Clear your spring checklist with great service from Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Thanks, again, Pet Appreciators, for spending part of your Sunday morning with us. We really enjoy spending our Sundays with you as well. I was just looking over one of my favorite websites, sidewalkdog.com. Have you been on that yet, Pet Appreciators? Again, it's sidewalkdog.com. Boy, they have a lot of really good articles and information to pass on. They know a lot about pet-friendly places and that kind of thing. And then they have a great directory, too, of services and pet-friendly businesses if you ever, you know, want to check that out as well. But anyways, you know, one thing that they do is they list, you know, pet-friendly farmers markets. Not all farmers markets welcome pets, but some do. And, you know, it is, you know, nice weather time, spring and summer here, and it's always fun to, always fun to head to a farmer's market, don't you think, Pet Appreciators, and get your fresh veggies and fruits and all kinds of other things that are being sold there nowadays, and support local businesses and local farms. So I think that's fantastic. But anyways, so you might want to check that out to see if your farmer's market in your area is pet friendly. Some are not, though, such as the Fulton's Farmer's Market, and that's in the Fulton neighborhood in South Minneapolis. That's right around the 50th and France area. And the reason why I know that they're not pet friendly is because we offer free dog walking services there, Pet Appreciators, on Saturdays. Most Saturdays, we can take care of people's pets who come to the farmer's market. We can watch them for like 20, 30 minutes while you shop and mingle with your neighbors. And then we'll take them for short walks as well, right there near the farmer's market. And so if you're ever in that neighborhood, most Saturdays from 9 to noon, the farmer's market is open a little bit longer than that. And I think they open sooner than that. But from 9 to noon, the Urban Dog, my business is there. And we just have a little sign and a little table. You just sign in and we take care of your dogs there and exercise them or just sit with them while you're shopping in the farmer's market. And, you know, we have, you know, our own little security check there. Everybody's assigned a little card with a different code word on it. And so when you come to get your dog, you know, you have to make sure we match up the code words and that kind of thing to make sure if we don't remember you, because sometimes there's more than one staff working and we certainly don't want to give the wrong dog to the wrong person. So just so you know, there is a little security there to make sure that your dogs are safe. And we always keep them on leash. So if you're going to the Fulton's Farmers Market near the 50th and France area, swing by and we'll be happy to take care of your pets as well. So I just wanted to throw
that
out.
That's awesome.
It's fun, yeah, because I understand why dogs aren't always welcome in places. I mean, I really get that. And sometimes I think they shouldn't. Why? It's maybe surprising coming from me, but no, sometimes I think dogs shouldn't be welcome in certain areas. So great if they are, and here's an alternative if they're not, where you can still do it. And most people are in and out, you know, the farmer's market besides a little bit of shopping, or sometimes a lot. Beautiful bouquets of flowers I see people walk out with all the time. Fresh flowers, but sometimes they're not. And I think we need to respect the vendors, you know, that have those wishes. So no problem there. But we can certainly make your farmer's market experience a little less stressful, especially if you want to combine walking your dog in the neighborhood, make a quick stop at the farmer's market. You know, we can definitely help with that. And we have a lot of clients in that area, so it's fun to see dogs come, and it's kind of like their little outing on Saturday. They get to go to the Urban Dog at the farmer's market and see all their pals and that kind of thing. So, but anyways, I took up a little bit too much time for that. But Dr. Nicole, you know, we have about 4 minutes left in the show. Is there anything that you feel is really important that you want to cover today, or any announcements with Tough Start?
I mean, not off
interesting
the top of my
cases
head.
That you
definitely
had.
You know, obviously, what was that?
Interesting cases you had over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I don't know if I ever got to talk about Bonnie, my own dog. Did I get to tell what she did?
Oh, Bonnie. Uh-oh. Does it have to do with water or tennis balls?
No, but she, for the past year or so, she's literally been every 2 to 3 months has been having just intermittent issues where she'll be sick. So she's vomiting, you know, retching, trying to eat everything in sight because she feels, you know, nauseous. I've taken her in multiple times, had multiple ultrasounds constantly. And every time we found that, yes, you know, she had eaten something, but then it would pass in her stool. You know, there was never a need to do surgery. There was never an obstruction. But a couple weeks ago, you know, she started with the whole thing again, and I thought, what is she doing? And we came home, or actually Grant came home one day, and she had eaten a bunch of carpet. I may have mentioned this one time, but I don't think I was able to finish the story because it hadn't happened yet. And so I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be the time where she's going to need surgery. And so we, you know, I took her into to my clinic and did a bunch of x-rays and everything, and found out that, you know, yes, she had some stuff in her stomach, but we thought it would pass. Well, she ended up, actually, it didn't pass. So she needed to go to Blue Pearl one day, and she had an ultrasound and an endoscopy. And they pulled out just tons of stuff from her stomach. So cat toys, pieces of like hard plastic, things I didn't even recognize. I was just like, what? How long has this been sitting in there? So she's so happy and so good now. So I truly believe that somewhere in the past year, she may have, you know, eaten something that just had been sitting in her stomach that whole time and was flat enough that on x-rays, it looked like everything had passed. You know, even on ultrasounds, you couldn't see it. And so, yeah, that was a big baggie full of stuff. Some stuff where I recognized, other things I had never seen before. So that little stinker.
I was going to say, Bonnie, you ate the house. Like, what did you do? She's sampling. She's going, she probably has something from every room.
I know, I just couldn't believe it because she's never been a dog that would ever eat things, you know, ever, her whole life. And so just in the past couple of years, she started to do this, which kind of has made me nervous. And I'm like, are you losing it a little here? You know, what's going on? But no. So now we kind of have to put all the toys away, which is real sad because Millie loves toys, my other dog. And but so we're trying to find toys that she actually can't ingest or things that are too hard and non-destructible. But it's not the same for little Mildred. She really likes running around with, you know, eviscerated bunny toys and things like that. So,
yeah, she's proud of.
So that was one thing that stuck out in my mind from the past couple of weeks.
Oh, that's huge. I remember the day. I remember the day you said that you think you're going to swing by Blue Pearl and Blaine. I remember that day.
Yes,
that was the day. Wow. You know, sounds like a lab, and she is a lab. It's amazing how many lab stories there are of things being just taken out of their stomach. It's almost like you're going shopping and you're just pulling stuff off the shelf. You know, just pulling things out of their tummies.
Funny to see them after. Yeah, like just see them sitting there after. And I'm like, oh, there's the candy cane cat toy. There's, you know, Donnie's favorite little orange duck toy. And then I'm thinking, what the heck are all these other things that I don't recognize? I'm just like, wow.
Right. You had a toy store in there. Bonnie, you ate the toy store. What are you doing, Bonnie? So, but anyways, pet appreciators, I hear the music that winds down our show. And I just want to say, as you wind down your weekend here, I hope it's a wonderful day for you. I really do. I hope the week starts out really well for you and your pets. And don't forget to come and see us at Petapalooza, Saturday, June 16th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Take care, everybody.